I understand there are already there's clothing on the market right now,
yes,
made by nanotechnology.
That's correct.
Is that right? What does this clothing do that my shirt or my pants don't do now?
Okay, well, I have a friend in England. Her name is Jenny Tilbinson, and she's actually been working on something. She has a company called Sensory Designs, and her approach is to actually build sensors right into the fabric of the clothing itself. Now, her first product actually is going to be, believe it or not, to detect pregnancy in women. I'm not kidding. by pheromone release.
Really?
It's actually been supported by a British pharmaceutical company.
So what happens? My God, that's incredible. So a woman has a dress on.
Yeah.
And it decides that she's pregnant and begins. Let me get this straight. Let me just guess. It begins to grow with the baby.
Well, not exactly. Actually, there's a color change, but.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, but she's also working on couture gowns and things that will change with your mood.
Well, since we're going that far, why don't we have it change? Pink for a girl and blue for a boy.
I'm sure it could be worked out. But the basic concept of smart fibers has been around for several years. In fact, there was a company called Molecular Geodesics, which was doing some work for DARPA, and their interest was in a smart fabric that could filter out certain kinds of microbes or viruses and then actually tell the soldier that he was being attacked by the microbe in question by a response from the cloth.
Wow.
And that goes back several years ago. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff is kind of hidden away in the military, but as is the case with any other technology paradigm, it usually takes about a decade or so between the first prototypes, usually which are in the military domain, and then they eventually filter into the commercial world. And we're seeing the outcome of that now.
Could there become something as lightweight as, oh, say, your average Marine Corps uniform? That when it detected a bullet was coming at it, toughened up and became something that would bounce the bullet.
You're 100% on the mark. Surprising that you would make that comment, because that's exactly one of the projects I actually saw. It was not exactly a cloth, it's more like a plastic-like membrane, but that's exactly what would happen. If a bullet impacted it, it would immediately harden up around the bullet. It was kind of like a new kind of bulletproof vest.
Around the bullet?
Yeah, it would just harden up a zone. The impact zone would cause like an epicenter that would then radiate out from the point of impact, and it would harden up at that spot.
That's incredible.
And that goes back about 2 or 3 years, as far as I know.
2 or 3 years?
The first prototypes that I read about.
Well, you just know the military would not just be interested in something like that. They would be fanatically.
Oh, they're funding it big time. In fact, there's something at MIT called the Soldier of the Future Project, which it's on public domain, so you can download the website yourself. But basically, the tip of the iceberg of this kind of stuff you can find there, examples of it. And I, in fact, personally, have spoken at a number of sort of DARPA-oriented conferences, and they've asked specific questions about certain areas, and I've given answers. But, I mean, there's a lot of this going on. I think the Homeland Security concept being presented to the general public may hasten, actually, a lot of the stuff getting out into the general world, which I think would be a good thing. I mean, in terms of things that can detect biohazards, smart clothing that could be protective, and, you know, things of that nature. I can see this moving in the fast path pretty quickly.
Will a lot of this get to the civilian populace as quickly as it does to the military black project money?
That's a tricky question, and I will try to answer it to the best of my ability. The reason Black Project money goes so far and does so quickly is because, and this is the double-edged sword, it's not under the auspices of congressional control. There's no oversight committee that says spend money in this and do not spend money in that. So they have kind of the freedom to go exploring all kinds of wild things, many of which don't work, by the way, but those that do get into the fast track of deployment. And so, yes, out of the Black Project's world, the timeline could be anything from a handful of years to maybe a decade or so. It depends on really what it is and what the motives are.
So Black Project money really is a scientist's best friend.
In a sense, yes. And I'm not pro-military exactly, but I do understand the requirement, and I can sort of understand the justification. So there's
as well as the facts of life.
It's a fact of life. That is true. Yeah.
How much of a hold does the military have on some of this developing technology right now?
A lot. I mean, they get it. I mean, they have really decided that there's something interesting here. And
of course.
Nanotechnology, I have to make this point, is a very, very broad range of different kinds of scientific disciplines all sort of merged together. It's not exactly like a narrow single tangent of scientific research. It's a much broader realm. So it's kind of hard to answer the question to say, well, how much nanotechnology is the military involved with? Because actually, if you were to take the broader view, just about everything from aerospace to the next generation of aircraft to armored vehicles to smart garments and just a whole lot of other things, all of which have some aspect of nanotechnology connected to them as we speak.